You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Mrs. Steen's going to help me with it tonight. We probably don't do it enough because we have a hard time with it once in a while. But ladies, start me off here and we'll do it. Well, I made some mistakes in my life. Now I'm reaping what I have sown. Just doing my time like all the rest. I'm waiting on my parole. Though I've been locked up, I can still be set free by the blood of the precious Lamb. When Jesus came in, He forgave my sin, and He knows who I am. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. They spend my life behind bars, but Jesus has loosed my chains. And I'm a new man with a new heart, and I will never be the same. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. So if you made some mistakes in your life and you're reaping what you have sown, though you're doing your time with all the rest, waiting on your parole. Though you've been locked up, you can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Let Jesus in, He will forgive your sin. You'll know the great I am. They may know your number, but Jesus knows your name. They may spend your life behind some bars, but Jesus will loose your chain. And though you've been locked up, you can be set free by the blood of the precious Lamb. They may know your number, but Jesus knows your name. They may know our number, but Jesus knows our name. We may spend some time behind bars, but Jesus will loose our chain. We'll be a new man with a new same. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. I said, they may know my number, but Jesus knows my name.
Yeah, I like that. That's one thing about Jesus. He knows who you are. That can work for you or against you. But He knows who we are. Last week, I talked to you about, in the book of Genesis, first and second chapter. We're going to continue that a little bit tonight. I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of Genesis. Now, if you don't have a Bible and like to have one, if you lift your hand, we got some guys that'll get you a Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Got another one down here, Preston, right here. We'll make it set up straight and we'll get you one. Oh, there. Got another one down here, front row. Got one here. We out of Bibles? Got one right here. Get your hand up, hon. Where are you? Okay. Genesis chapter 3. Got one over here. What I want to talk to you tonight about is in the first family, when God created man, He created Adam. And then God created Eve. And then He put them in a beautiful garden. They had the best of everything. But God, before He created Eve, had told Adam, you have one rule. I'm going to give you one commandment. And this is in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 16, not the book of Acts, the book of Genesis, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now notice He gave it to the man, didn't tell the woman. And guys always want to try to be the boss of everything, especially the woman. Well, God just holds you accountable for that. You are held accountable, like it or not, for being the spiritual leader in the house. And He told the man, this for the woman, sir, He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You can just eat and eat, and there was no weight problems. Didn't have to watch carbohydrates or anything. And He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, we have this beautiful garden out here. We've got all kind of trees, all kind of fruit. And there's only one stipulation. There's not 10 commandments, there's just one. This is the easiest of all theologies, if you will. Don't eat of that one tree. And so Adam was to get that message over to Eve when Eve was brought into the world. And evidently he did. And so there, God introduces the family. He told them that God even introduced sex before there was ever any sin. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. And this was God's program. This was God's plan. They had the best of everything. One of the things that Adam was supposed to do was to guard the garden. He was to keep it manicured, but also they didn't have any weeds anyway then. And so he was just to guard the garden. Well, he didn't do a very good job of that. But that's not what got him in trouble. In fact, if we read along here, as we start reading, we'll find that they broke a lot of rules, but there's only one of them God's going to hold them accountable for. And so we start in Genesis chapter 3 and said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. Subtle means he is tricky. He's underhanded. He'll deal off the bottom of the deck. He'll deal seconds. He's slippery and sly. And it said, and he said unto the woman, I want you to notice he picks on the woman. But see, you women talk to anybody. That's why God went out. That's what's got you in a lot of trouble. Yeah, but he comes to the woman, and notice the first word out of his mouth. It's positive. He's a positive thing. He says, yay. That's positive. He didn't say nay. He said, yay. Hath God said. He's always positive. He told you you could get by with it. He tells us they'll never catch us. He tells us that won't happen to you. The reason so-and-so got caught is he's stupid anyhow. You're smarter than him. He's always told us how smart we are. And, brother, we believe it. Boy, Satan, you're right about that. I am pretty cool. Yeah, I am, Marla. I'm smart. So, he said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. First thing he does is cast doubt on what God said. That's why folks don't like to read the Bible. Because God says some things, and we don't want to have to confront them. And he said, did God tell you that you shouldn't eat? Did God tell you that? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. And then like a woman, she got to add something to it. neither shall you touch it lest you die. No, he didn't say one word about touching it. They could have built a swing in it. They could have put a treehouse in it. They could have got the fruit and had a fruit fight with it. And he didn't say, lest you die. That was a condition. He said, you surely will die if you eat of that tree. And so where Satan comes along and casts doubt on what God said, did God really say that? And then the next thing he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Now he just calls God an outright liar. And our world is still doing it. You and I have done it. But we just move along these things as if God didn't really mean it. You just kind of teasing about things. A preacher friend of mine said one time he was driving home after church and he had a little, his daughter was 10 years old and he'd told some story that morning in the pulpit. And as they were driving home, his daughter said, Daddy, was that story really true or were you just preaching? Because we say so many things sometimes and never back anything up. And Satan said, you're not going to die. God has lied to you. He's very positive, but he just calls God an outright liar. It's not going to happen. When Jesus said he's coming back, nobody really believes that in our time. You don't hear many churches talking about the second coming of Christ. You could probably go to every church in this town for the next 6 weeks and wouldn't hear two messages on hell. All of these different things, Satan just accuses God of being untruthful, unjust, unkind, unloving. He said, thou shalt not die. And notice this, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God doesn't really love you. If he did, he'd tell you that if you eat of that fruit, your eyes would be open and you'd be as God. You'd be smart as God. You'd know all these things. And verse 6, notice that. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I want you to hold your finger right here a moment and turn way over in your Bible. Go to the book of Revelation and then come back this way a little bit. Book of Revelation is next to the last book in the Bible. Concordance is the last book. No, I'm teasing. 1 John. In the book of 1 John, very small little book, in chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says this. Says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Now notice this, the lust of the flesh. This is thousands of years later that John's writing us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's exactly what Satan presented here. What Eve saw was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. It looks good. It feels good. It tastes good. Then it was pleasant to the eye. That's the lust of the eye. Satan always works through the eye. God works through the ear. Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But look at your TV commercial. We work through the man wants through the eye. He always works through that. And then he said, be desired to make one wise. And over in John it said, the pride of life. We take pride in being on the inside of things, knowing what's really going on, knowing what's taking place all the time. We take pride in that. And we want to be the ones. And when she saw these things, it said that she took of the fruit and gave to her husband with her. You probably heard it said that silence is golden. Sometimes it's just downright yellow. Notice that Adam has not opened his mouth since all this started. He stood right there and let his wife get hoodwinked. He stood right there and went right along with the whole deal, and he ate of the fruit. And then he's going to be man enough to blame her when God comes around. The woman you gave me made me eat. Yeah, right. She held that 38 on you and said, here. Like one guy said, guy I used to drink with, we'd take turns holding a gun on one another, making us drink that moonshine. It tastes so bad. They gave him that was with her to drink. And I want you to notice something. Did they become gods? Look here. She took the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to the husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. I wish some people in Old Dustin knew that. We're going to summertime again, and there's going to be some of these folks, some of you dressed like can't tell if you're trying to get in your clothes or get out of them. But he said they were both naked. That's all they found out. Boy, that's smart, isn't it? That they really learned. They really become as gods. And here's what they did. The first thing they did is got busy trying to hide it. Cover it up. Patch it up. And they built aprons. That covers a lot, doesn't it? An apron doesn't cover as much as one of them hospital gowns. But no back in them. They got them an apron. Running hit. I've often wondered what would have happened had Adam turned to Eve and said, you know what, Eve, we just blown it. And we need to go find God. We need to get with Him. And they started running through that garden, screaming for God, oh Lord. Oh Lord, please. We need help. But they didn't. They did what man has done ever since. Ran and hid. They were hiding from God. Let's cover it up. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, we've sinned. Instead of confessing, instead of repenting, instead of saying, Lord, I need help. Please do something for me. Can you help me? We hide. We cover it up. We try to fix it our own way. You should have noticed verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Have you ever heard a voice walking? What does a voice do? It doesn't walk, does it? What does it do? Talk. A voice would talk. But notice, right as soon as man sins, they hear the voice of the Lord God. Well, if you went over to the book of John, the very first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you skip to verse 14, and it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among it. Jesus Christ shows up as soon as they sin. He comes looking for Adam and Eve, just like He's done for you. Now, the Bible said the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. He comes looking for us. We ought to be looking for Him. But we're running from Him. And said, no. He's going to seek and save that which was lost. That's what He does. But I want to give you three things about this. Number one, what God said. He said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Number two, what Satan said. Edward, we really need it. Please don't interrupt the service. Satan said, God's lied to you. Number three, what really happened? And we know that God didn't lie to him. And by the way, the minute they sinned, Satan hooked them. You can't find him anymore in this chapter. He always leaves us holding the bag. He's never stood up for anybody when men sin. When they follow him, he never says, stick with me and I'll do these things for you. He never does that. Just like your friends didn't put anything in your commissary. Just like your buddies didn't visit and say, we're going to help you. We hear all of that. But that doesn't happen. Satan always is lying to us. Let me tell you what happened. Shame entered. Pain entered. The whole earth suffers because of sin. Bible said, for as by one man, not one woman, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Today there would be nobody needing anything in this world if Adam hadn't sinned. Today there'd be no deaths. Nobody'd ever have to go to a funeral. Never, we wouldn't need any hospitals. We'd have none of those things. Except for sin. Satan's gone, sin enters, and everything around Adam and Eve suffered. And even if we went on, we'd read about the thorns and the thistles, the ground, the trees, everything suffered because this whole world was blighted that very day when Adam and Eve sinned. But the amazing thing about it was that God's grace appeared. That voice comes walking. I want you to look at verse 21, if you would. Unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. They'd made an apron. Doesn't cover much. God made a coat. That covers a lot. You remember he said, the day you sin up there, if you eat of that tree, that day you're going to die. And people said, well, Adam and Eve didn't die. But there was a death. Somebody died. And here we have introduced in the third chapter of Genesis what took place 4,000 years later on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ paid mine and your debt for sin. God took in that beautiful garden that had never had any pain, never had seen any blood, nobody had ever suffered in that beautiful garden. God took two, probably lambs, but two animals and killed them and field dressed them and skinned them. Their blood was shed that day so that Adam and Eve could continue living on a while. He introduced the substitute. Paul put it this way. For God hath made him, speaking to Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He was perfect, just like those two innocent lambs. They done nothing wrong. But they paid for Adam and Eve. And sin, and Christ became sin for us, and he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We traded places. I should have gone to Calvary. I should have died for my sins. Jesus Christ went there and paid for my sins, and I get to go to heaven because I don't deserve to go to heaven. I haven't done one thing that would cause me to enter heaven except the fact that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He became sin for me. And that day in that garden, blood was shed. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. You can get forgiveness without any shedding of blood, but you can't get your sins remitted without blood. And Christ did that one time. The Bible says, appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, here's the doctrine of substitution. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. You've listened well tonight. You have. I hope that the words of Scripture have sunk in. I hope you see you in this. Because that's what the Bible reveals, me and you. This is what it's all about. And we can live on this earth, and we could live for 120 years. And we could live in mansions, and we could drive the finest cars, and the finest, living the finest lifestyle that there is. And if we don't go to heaven, we're a failure. We'll be the, of all men, most miserable. Jesus Christ died for you to pay your debt. But you have to trust it. You have to receive it. The debt's paid, but if you don't accept it, you know, that's the amazing thing about a gift. We have times of giving. We have birthdays. We have Christmas. We have Valentine's. We give things. But you don't have to take them. You can say no. God has given us His Son. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, Leland, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I know that. I'm no use me trying to fool anybody. I know the heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. Eyes are closed. But you just slip up your hand and say, Leland, pray for me. I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ, my Savior. And I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about communion. I'm talking about salvation. You say, I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up real quickly? Nobody will embarrass you. Nobody will point you out. But do you want prayer? Do you care enough that you want prayer? I see your hand. Okay. Anyone else? Right. I see your hand. Yes, and yours. All right. Anyone else? Real quick. I see your hand, sir. Y'all. And yours, son. You can put it back down after I've recognized you. Anyone else? Before we pray. I need prayer. I want you to pray for me. I care enough. I don't want you to pray for me. We're going to pray. Our Father, You know the hearts of each of us. You know where we are with You, and we know. And tonight, I pray that those who have lifted their hands and those that should have, in these next few moments, would turn to You, not me, not a church, but to You, and say, I trust Your Son. I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again to pay for my sins. I trust Christ as my Savior. It's just that simple. I pray, Father, that they'll do that just as I'm praying right now. And then, as we start to sing, Father, I pray You give them the guts, the courage to step out and say, I want to step out for Jesus. He died for me. I want to live for Him. I recognize Him as my Savior. Father, help them to do that. We ask that Your Holy Spirit might deal with each heart. Won't you stand to your feet? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Just stand while Brother Charles sings, just as I am. Would you come on the very first verse and say, I trust Christ as my Savior tonight. Would you come right now?
Without one plea, but that Your blood.
Don't put it off. Do it now. Come on. Come right on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Johnny.
Come to thee, O
come right on. Come on.
Of God.
Be somebody here to pray with you. Come on.
I come.
Just as I am. No getting ready, no preparation. Just come on.
As I am and waiting now to rid
get it settled.
My soul of one dark blood to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Sing one more verse. No one comes.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.